community hall, 7:20, June 17th.
Ready? It's working. I'd like to call to order the committee of the whole meeting for the Village of Round Lake, June 17th, 2013, at 7:22 p.m. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Clemens? Trustee Fry? Trustee Newby? Trustee Cimicelli?
Present.
Trustee Trippin?
Present.
Trustee Wisniewski?
Present.
Public comment? We've already heard. Any comments? Yep, we have one new person. Thank you for coming, anyway. Committee of the Whole. Community Development. Did I jump in? I did. Item 2.1, approve the minutes of the Committee of the Whole meeting of June 3rd. Motion made by Trustee Trippin and seconded by the twins. Trustee Kuczynski. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Public comment. We already know that. Thank you. Committee of the Whole meeting, Committee for Community Development. Anything under Human Resource and Finance?
Nothing, sir.
Gil? For the, I have the only one. That was the one that I was looking at, like, commented on, if I had the current agenda. That's not on here also. Was it posted that way?
No. This one, yes.
Well,
that was posted on the... Is it posted on the website?
I just pulled it just this morning. I don't know when it got posted on the website, but it was... Actually, I think Mark sent an email on that. Let me see.
Which agenda are you looking at? I'm looking at the agenda from June 15th to
8:30
p.m. I'm looking at the one. This one?
Yes.
Does
it say
salary ordinance?
No.
Yes,
it
won't say
salary.
Okay, this one says salary ordinance. This is the most recent copy of the website.
That was
taken
on the post
on
Friday.
And it wasn't updated on our website.
This item does not need to be discussed now, so we'll just move it to the next meeting.
I'm going say that some of my five issues, and I'll just very, very briefly remind the board what those issues are. First of all, what we do with the 1500 and 2 Parkway Ash Street represents, I guess, 25% of our total Parkway Street. As I indicated, 500 of those, probably there were 33% required either fully dead or certainly in serious decline. But yet there's another 1,000 ash trees that do not have yet a visible indication of infestation by a ash borer. And the research suggests promising that there are chemical treatment options. Yes, you'll see some estimation of what that chemical treatment would cost us. It's not a one-time treatment or whatever that is. The second issue is 200 small non-ash tree species that identify, again, for reasons that the mayor indicated, our consulting arborist and I did propose the storing plan subdivision, where the preponderance of the non-ash tree species that have suffered in our data. Third option is 38 large, third issue, 38 large, i.e. 12 inch diameter or greater, three predominantly in the old part of 2011. Evidence agreed of hazardous conditions, either in the trunk itself or some substantive branch. We have started on a comprehensive tree trimming program to eliminate site distance obstructions, to eliminate overhanging branches on the sidewalk, and to help shape the tree for the future helping locality. And then the last issue, biggest one, housing fund tree replacement. I did take some liberty to propose some options on how to proceed. Do not envision that tonight is the end to discuss the date necessarily with any winter options, but clearly I feel the need to get some guidance from the board on how to proceed. Do not like telling residents I will offer a summary sheet as a handout that Shayla may have did not think about in advance, but if there is any discussion desired tonight about what it's going to cost us.
Is an attempt to summarize
and this is not a one-year program, whatever you choose to do. The only other point I'd like to make is if you want to recognize member like staff or whatever, or a passion to be straight and that's a full-time job. She does so much part-time activities. And I appreciate the interest and dedication that Laura has to be part of public work and in general and specifically A-Ball and our urban bars. Thank you, Laura.
I just for the rest of the board tonight, because I really would like to see close to the committee structure and have further discussion there. And then ask the committee to ask recommendations. I would welcome Laura to attend our committee on the subject. didn't even get a chance to even discuss it in the committee. So,
and obviously, I defer to the board to include yourselves and Greg and even the most personal chair. I'm just, yeah, all serious. It's not a good answer to give the public report. Yes, by sound trees in the house, and not suggesting that even others necessary work code. And let me point out that this plus summary of the UNC has a low, a high, and the middle ground estimated costs. And it assumed the work to be done by budget. With the exception of tree trimming, I believe that's tasked and paid on with in-house forces, and it's worked and easily picked up, and it's good rainy day filler type work. We still read it as a haphazard road. I allude to property owner participation in opening up prioritized replacement trees that needs more detail. An attachment does summarize the smattering of municipalities in this particular Illinois that do have programs centered around property owners. Financial participation, influence, and priority of this company. I'm happy to get help from wherever I'm coming.
Mr. Crook, thank you. I realize this isn't a topic on the agenda that is looking to be moved forward. Thanks for compiling the information. I think, as Trustee Newby said, the committee chairperson and their alternative get together and have a meeting and discuss this further. It's a complicated issue. Thanks for laying the groundwork to get this program going. One of the things that I've asked Mr. Krupp to do is to give us something like this, because each day more and more phone calls are coming in with concerned residents like Bowers, who came to the meeting tonight, and thank you. Please be aware that we are addressing this, and please be aware that this is extremely complicated. And we're very sensitive to it, and we are addressing it as we speak. So we'll move it out to the committee. It needs immediate attention, there's no doubt.
You know, as a board, we put this off because when it first came to our attention that this is going to be an issue, no one really knew what kind of an issue it would be. Nobody knew what the cost factors could possibly be. We didn't have our trees identified and located at that time, so we didn't even know. I mean, we can talk, but we had nothing based on reality to talk about. We also were given conflicting information on treating trees versus just replacing trees. And I think everyone waited to see what the history, a year or two going to do by way of more information. And what I know to come down to is the chemicals are effectual for the trees that have not been already taken over by the ash borer grossly. It's a yearly event to treat your tree. And as your trees get older, it's not just a root application, but it's bored into the tree as well. It's a double application. And there is absolutely, even with all of that being done, there's no guarantee that the trees are going to make it. In fact, most arborists will tell you that even with all the chemical treatment, you might be only buying yourself time and not a healthy tree. These little test things are bad.
Thank you, Trustee Trifon. I was going to bring that up, you know, with the chemical treatment, since we mentioned it. If you made a bell curve, and going up the curve, the emerald ash borer is infesting the tree. There hasn't been a visible sign of it yet. Once there's visible sign and the curve starts coming down the other side, where you see it, the canopy is defoliating, the tree will finally end up dead. With chemical treatment, the only thing that's going to happen with this is it's going to spread out that bell curve. Right now, all of the experts are saying that that's a temporary application, and that tree is still going to succumb to this. Every ash tree in this country is going to get infected and killed by this thing. It's just a matter of time.
So it really comes down to when you want to replace the tree all at once and at one cost, or replace the trees you have to. The trees, the ones you want, get a little longer out of because you're still going to treat them anyway and it'll elongate this whole process. Because we're talking about a lot of trees and this is a lot of cost. So I'm hoping that the committee can come up with some very good plans so we can afford to do it. The other question I had, the other trees, the maple you were talking about, the other trees in Silverleaf Line, why are we seeing an issue in Silverleaf Line with more than ash trees?
Well, I got from Chuck Stewart, but I encourage you. But again, to speak by screen again, we got cheap trees to begin with. Better specifications, whether they were adequately cared for in the first year or two, I don't know. That's a question mark. The couple of the trees, and this is not a major issue, but it varies by subdivision, pretty much bulge on the trunk of the trees, allowing for rot at the trunk of the tree. And other factors such as the drought, which some unhealthy trees over the cliff, which is not overnight, but that was conjecture, and increased off cycles, which we had a number of. There is no one answer, but the most disturbing part from Chuck was the low-quality trees began with conjecture.
How old is Silverleaf Line?
About 11 years.
And I will admit that they are cheap trees who have been replacing the trees that are dying before the ash borer. We've been here 3 years, and some of those trees were just a wreck stick.
And we did, some might add to that, to get some more negativity, we hired a contractor last fiscal year. We had a tree replacement, and we did not do an ass job when they were going to quarterback here, you know, checking the quality. How many trees did you have replaced by that contractor?
Like 87, 87 or 89.
And yes, Judge, how many have gone down there already? I'm going to say half.
Right.
That's a guess. And that probably is pretty hard to call the number that we have. We have no reason. Lots of good lessons learned here.
Well, hopefully the committee will come up with some good recommendations. We'll be able to at least make a plan. And hopefully we have some homeowners who are willing to help and, you know, carry with us and take our time.
I've already talked to Robert Dan, and this is an affected by one of these, and I've already said I've talked to my neighbor, which is two of us in our line of possible third one. And he said if the village takes down the tree, I'll pay for my own tree. I've already talked to a couple of different landscape companies. I got prices already. I said, I know where they're at. And I said, in the position I'm in, I don't want to get a tree anyways, because someone's going to say I'm down because of where I am. So I said, and I thought I'd already talked to a few people who had another person call me last week and said, if we take down the tree, they'll pay for their own tree, what their own tree is. So I'm wondering, you know, if we have maybe 50 or 100 residents that would like to do that now, we take a tree out there and place our own trees, we might be able to solve a minor, very minor part of the problem. I mean, it's still hard, like less than 700 trees, so, you know, I don't know how many residents want to do that or put forth to do that, but that's an option. But it's not going to be able to cure them all for.
What was the price of the tree that you
had? Everything I had was to get a tree that was approximately 2.5 to 3.5 inches, depending upon the species. Planted with a 2-year guarantee is going to cost it between $300 to $400.
For the tree itself?
For the tree and planted. They had planted because then they would give me the 2-year warranty. They said if they didn't plant it, then it was no warranty. So then it planted, I think $75 for the tree. So I said, you know what, probably the 2-year warranty was about the cost of that. But that was the cost range, so depending on the species that I picked up, what I wanted, that's what I was looking at.
And
you have to water it yourself, didn't it? Oh, sure. After that, you have to maintain the stuff. But see, I did that. My tree started growing, and I was hoping that I wasn't seeing what I was seeing, and I've been on Chuck Stewart for years, my other jobs, because Chuck's a well-known artist, and I finally got him to come out to my house because he was out here doing something. And I bought it because I knew during the drought, Chuck used to always stress that we're having a drought, very hot weather, at least once a week, make sure all of them are running a tree for 15, 20 minutes. With a good drink of water, it'll be fine. Well, I was doing that regularly because I put a lot of trees in my yard and I water them all. And this tree, I could just know, I knew there was something worse than not watering plants, the ones I had plugged. So, I never had to plug.
And, you know, on that note, just a thought, you know, if you find that you have 75 or 50 residents that are willing to do that, perfect, maybe they could discount because of the project. You know, so you can hook up with a couple landscapers and see what they would do, and depending on how many were purchased by residents, they might reduce their price.
That's true.
Make a little contract, not get.
And if I may, that is the definition issue we need to get. What are the programs? What amount of money can we afford to put into our share of the cost? How long have we been on this program? My suggestion at the moment, this is a 5-year effort. If asked, I don't think we can afford to kind of do it all in 1 year.
I'm going to real similar, Bill, just 1 second. You know, this is part of the groundwork that Ron laid out in this item. You know, instead of going on with further conversation about it, I think I'd like to move on, have the committee meet, come up with some good guidelines to bring to the next meeting, and move forward from there if everybody's in agreement with that. Bill had a comment here. Does any public comments over with? Does anybody have a problem with
Thank you. Billy Cottonwell, 360 Corners, Sweet Clover Road. I was wondering, is it possible for the village to subsidize the cost of a tree for... That was a cut in my favor of my name, because her tree was blown over in that big storm 2 years ago. And like this lady said, the trees that are only replaced are just in terrible condition. They're Like she said, they're literally just fixed. This tree hasn't even blossomed any leaves. It was all fixed, and now it's on an angle like this. I was done that way for 2 years. So I'm sure if she made a count to me, she'd be able to, you know, pay a price. It's a lot for the tree. If the village would. We didn't mind pitching some money for it as well.
And again, we're looking at all these options.
Okay.
So, you know, one, please come back to meetings. There'll be more information as this goes on. Two, watch our webpage. We'll certainly be posting this. This is one of the biggest topics in the community right now. Yes, sir.
Forgive me for making one last comment, but to give you an example, one of Mr. Rupp's comments. Our homeowner association 2 weeks ago, this is one of our topics. One of the questions was, could we replace a tree? Response from the board management, why should we pay for what the village is already supposed to? People won't do that. Some may, some may not. If you do replace a tree, what we have observed in our 3 years here is that people consider it parkway. It's not our property, it's somebody else's property. They didn't water it. I put in trees last year in my lot. The drought came, grass went dormant, trees got a lot of water. My trees are doing beautiful. I feed our trees every year, including the parkway trees. I want those elms to be majestic. How bad is the parkway syndrome for some of the Silver Leaf Glen homeowners? We get two or three free weekly advertising newspapers. If they're at the sidewalk to the street, they don't pick them up. Some places with the pavement, you won't have to replace for years. They have so much newsprint holding this together. So please remember the human factor. Some people simply will not do it.
But there are people who, if you would take down a dead tree, just put a tree up in on the road. You think, but they're all, they don't know what to do. You need to get it out there. If you could take a tree down, you're free to put a tree in. Without the permit, maybe. You could, you know, say, well, we won't charge you for a permit to put a new tree in. You're helping us a lot.
Right.
Maybe you could give them a little break on that.
I think also the community public guidelines are definitely the case. What kind of trees should go in that area? Very
charming. And are they welcome to come to the community that you hold? You know, maybe make sure their address is out there.
Yes.
We can contact them.
They
want to have the next meeting for that topic.
Give the name and address to the administrator, and you will contact them with the trees. And also, same with the trustees. And when I'm sending the of course, committee meetings,
that's not what we'll
post it, and then you can
talk. Well, just on that, if I could, Mayor, mm-hmm. if you're calling it a committee, because with this ordinance change in 2011, trustee, the individual committees were eliminated and the committee of the whole was instituted, but if you're calling it a committee, then you actually must post under the open meeting.
So regardless of what they call it, it is a committee meeting.
There's no need to call it anything because per the ordinance we don't have these committees anymore. So I know you're using the language from previous years, so and that's fine. But just to understand, but when you say to the public, if you want to come to the committee, well, then if you are going to designate a committee, you do have to post. Per the ordinance, it's not a committee. It's just it's a liaison meeting with the department. So
a liaison meeting with the department that has more than two trustees would still need to be posted.
If there's more than two trustees, then it's a board meeting.
So it's healthy to say that when in doubt, post.
Always.
I know you trust them. Thank you everybody for the comments. This is a big project and working forward. Thank you for all of your help. Moving on, special events. Probably not.
No.
Not on mine.
All the way. Huh?
Well, I'm going to have you back up for one moment. Is there more from Public Works?
Yes, there is. With my understanding, Mark, if it's sent out, you revised to the whole and included a request on my behalf to fill one of the seasonal positions.
Martha sent it on June 14th on Friday. I did just check my email. It does have the revised one, which has the salary ordinance, which we had previously discussed, not being on there. So it was sent out on that Friday, so she did send it. It just somehow nobody else has an updated copy or didn't print off.
I know, I love you.
This is one that I told you. But the most recent one was sent on Friday by Martha, and it did have the position that discussing, so yes, it was received and it was posted and it was posted on the website at least after the question. Yeah. To the ample time. I wasn't losing my mind. Where
Mr. Cruz?
I just wanted hopefully
everybody fine with that in agreement?
Yes.
Then we'll move forward with it. Are we going to call it the summer fall position?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Any more from Public Works?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Crew. Special events.
May I speak a little bit?
You may speak a lot.
What was not your question? I'll make sure. 4th of July, obviously, we were handed out some paperwork. As far as the party goes, just a couple things. I would hope that we'll all be there that day. If you're not, I understand, but hopefully we'll all be there like we did on the last parade. And probably show our name.
I'm going to direct to Mike, Ron, and Steve, just because you're in the office. Just a thought, don't know if it's your daughter or dad's daughter, please even do it. What would be wrong with us putting, and not a large, but a smaller Rubbermaid in each one of those departments and ask for parade donations and see if maybe some of the employees would throw in the bag again? Am I wrong for doing it? Are you shaking your head? Okay, that's all I wanted to know. I didn't know. I thought they could be part of the parade as well. They just may not be on the slope, but they participated in a village parade.
The reality is that they've got what that is.
Okay, I mean, nobody has to know if they put it in, but you don't think that's a good one. Just based on your experience, how about you guys? I'm sorry, what? It has been officially scratched off. Thank you.
I will say this, though, on behalf of the police department, for sure, and I know Public Works here before, obviously, it was meeting and doing anything we needed and wanted. But I will say to the police department, not doing it for the parade is their option. It's certainly within their parameters to do or not to. But they do things on a daily basis that we don't see, that they're already going a little above and beyond. For instance, my two children, one of them today, met up with, with one of our officers who gave out a little badge, and some of them give out candy when they see, you know, the kids. So they're already doing it, but they're doing it on a day-to-day basis, and not, I wouldn't expect them to do it in the parade. That they do it on a day-to-day basis makes me very proud. So I also want to know that. About that.
Okay, I just thought I'd throw it out there. It doesn't hurt. Okay, well then on that note, anybody who is interested in donating candy for the parade, please feel free. Because there is no money in the budget for that, correct?
Okay. And we do have some candy.
Yeah,
we'll
come
up.
And I know for a fact that our illustrious mayor is hoping that somebody will donate the green Tootsie Roll.
The green ones are good.
He won't throw them in the gray, but he knows they're good.
Oh, he likes spot.
So if anybody wants to make a donation, they can contact you.
I'm going to just drop it with Pat or bring it in the morning like we did. That works perfect. Okay. And I did have one more thing for Ron. As far as decorating, Dawn and I were talking a little bit. We can come on Wednesday night, or are we able to come on Sunday and can it sit until Thursday? Or do you like to have access to that trailer?
I believe that we can have the decoration on Sunday. We'll keep it in one of the days.
Okay.
We have two smaller trailers. Yeah, it should be fine.
Okay.
Would you please let us know if for something comes up where the village does need access to that trailer, where you anticipate it being needed at that time, so we'll just make other arrangements to let everybody know that we'll move the decorations till that Wednesday night instead, because obviously we don't want to hinder any of the village activities. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am done.
Say
goodnight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was not known for. And what did they call it? The employee picnic?
Employee picnic. That's forest picnic.
Okay. Village. It is the village picnic.
Yeah, village picnic.
We were talking about an eye, and we're going to talk about considering having it again. However, what we did last year was send it out to all the employees to get their response, if they would come, if they would not come. Unfortunately, very low turnout for that.
Very low spot.
Right. So we kind of put it by the wayside and we did not participate. We do have money in the budget for it. So at this point, I'm thinking maybe if we can draft together another simple letter to see what response we would get from all of our employees and what type of participation we would get before we start anything else. Should we send them with a date, though, or do you want to see participation first?
We'll give a response, end date on the response.
No, I mean, we give a date in which we're thinking of having.
I think that would be so people can kind of plan.
Well, normally the house is alive.
Okay.
So, yeah, so.
Where is the location?
Oh,
It has to be planned?
Yes.
I mean, if nothing else, forest reserve?
You've got to have the public works ground in the past.
Where?
Public works ground.
Okay.
We've had it at Mr. Leeds' house. And that could give up for 1 year. Mm-hmm. Last year, that was your house. So there are options.
Well, the turnout
system. He has a new yard and he offered too.
Yeah. But. It's better than that. I'll be out there.
All right, so put out a letter. Should we not get a date to say?
I would like to send a date. I would. Because a lot of people start planning anything for sports or education. You put a, this is the date you're anticipating, depending on the amount.
Maybe the committee should meet and have
a date. Well, we'll collaborate.
Collaborate. Choose a date and send a letter and see what kind of response you
get. 2 minutes early. We'll do that. We'll get a date and then
get into dress. And then we'll see you next early.
All right.
Well, we're just talking about our liaison, some content, but if you would like to, then we shall post this and make it if you'd like anything else.
It's a liaison meeting.
Okay. All right. We'll have more on Thursday night.
Just a liaison meeting.
Okay. Is that, buddy? Okay. Now
I'm done. You're welcome. Thank you, Trustee Kuczynski. Building and zoning.
Building and zoning, I got that. Hopefully. First one is just for informational purposes, we're asking you to review ordinance procedures. We had a get together with the building department, myself, mayor. We were going over our grass cutting ordinances and weeds and everything, so we came up with some ideas that I'm trying to put them all together. I included an article which we just found in the paper from the last weekend that was interested in one of our neighboring communities on the campus. We were talking about weeding properties and they're going out and I have a question because I'm not so sure. We're looking basically at a lot of vacant stuff.
Your budget. So,
I have another idea. idea, but I have to talk to the attorney's first, because I don't know if it's a feasible idea, but, you know, I'm sure, I know, one problem I know, and I had that in our last village, we had trouble with how much the fees that we had put on people's homes, kind of waiting, eventually by the court system, because why don't we do it reasonably, we're just only not waiting, so.
They're getting waived almost immediately when you report from the HOIC now.
Oh, really?
It's always a joke, it's a joke.
Oh, okay.
We have, just even the addiction, you know, for non-payment is almost incredible. If you waive for one person, all of a sudden the judge is like, oh, they waived it in cash, oh, well, we'll still waive the cash. So it's really a subject of fluid.
Okay. Well, that's something, but anyway, we'll work on that, hopefully come up with a plan that's going to work. We recoup a lot of our money and keep some people happy. We have two really bad properties right now that we have to really address, but I'm sure other ones that are going to come up, we have extensive list of foreclosures that we just got to the building department, so it's a surprise. So I can see the future is not going to get any further in this area. And last but not least, the garage sale ordinance. The mayor and myself were talking, and we've had some other meetings. I can always talk a little bit with the trustees of our office and that. We'd like to repeal the garage sale ordinance. We charge people $2 for a permit. It's a lot of work. But $2 aggravates a lot of people, and the homeowners lose. And we've talked to them. I think goodwill is, we don't really need this. I talked to Bob and Bill from the building department. They know what's going on. They know the whole HOA is advertising things. They usually police themselves very well. There's been no problems with them. And one comment to me was that somebody thought that, well, if we didn't have this ordinance, we might have somebody trying to run a farmer's market on this garage every weekend or every other weekend. Well, you know what? We see somebody doing that, trying to make a business. We use the zoning code, not me. We have other codes to use and try to run a business out of this garage. Well, they don't want that. So they define, they can afford it. Well, they can get their attention. We don't have to penalize everybody else for one or two bad apples in the village. Sue brought up a good point that the best part about the fee was that people couldn't get their garage sale online. And they can still do that. We've got Martha hopefully going to be trained, and she's going to be keeping our website up to date. And she said, there's no problem. We'll just blurb in the website. People have their garage sale. They give her about a 2-week notice. She can put that on the website like she does now. No problem. You don't have to collect the fee for it.
I know, speaking my language.
Well, I just think, you know, this is, you know, one way to just relax the rules. It seems that right now the village is always, you know, passing rules to collect money or do something for people. This would be a good thing, I think. Just take it off the books. Let's see where it goes. Really had no problems with anything in the past. The building department hasn't come up with anything. And let's play it by ear and see what happens.
So this would just be the garage sale and the license for it. Our sign ordinance would take care of the sign issues, and our zoning would take care of any misuse of.
Exactly.
We would still be limiting 2 per year.
Or no, you know what? Somebody wants to do a third one. I mean, most people really think about it. I mean, I live at home on the crew too. And every once in a while, somebody sneaks in a garage sale. But, you know, most of the time, garage sales are paid in the box. So if you put together 2 a year on your own, it's a lot of work. It just isn't something you go out and do with the site. And, you know, I don't think it should be much of a problem. And the signs, again, we're going to put it on the website. You know, when you put the signs out there, you put them out, you put them in the right way. So when you can tell it's a garage sale, make the signs up. If not, the guy's right around Monday morning, we do it now anyhow. We'll pick them up, hold them in the truck, and go back to the garage. But they said, really, it's been very minimal. They've had no problems. So let's just give it a shot and see what happens.
So you're saying, you know, I'll have enough tests and I'll have Bye-bye.
and people go back to Craigslist and all the other places that they put their information
about
it, in the paper or wherever they want to list it.
Can I give the floor to Mr. Zimmerman? He wants to comment about advertising.
Yeah, Mayor, the only thing I would recommend a lot of caution over is, one, I don't recommend opening up your right-of-way to private advertising. So there's a distinction between whether you have an enforcement issue and whether your ordinances expressly allow it. You really should not expressly allow it, because once you open that up as an advertising forum, First Amendment dictates that you can't pick and choose who you're allowing to advertise. So that's one thing. And then with respect to the use of the village website for displaying where these are happening, I think we need to work with Russ on that to see how that's being done and in what capacity it's getting onto the website. That raises the same problem. Opening the right-of-way to advertising. So my recommendation is Craigslist is actually an advertising site. It's private. That's where this is appropriate. The village is about village information, and
I agree.
Garage sales are village information.
So I think if you're going to repeal the ordinance for having the garage sales, that's all well and good. I think you should repeal the web page as well, because you're going to get such a handful. Now
you have to confirm it anyway. Well, now the attorney's also said that. Anyway, I'll put up a can of worms letting that happen, so maybe we can just drop it all. I'm sure the citizens are going to be a lot happier with us. And still enforce the right of way, that's fine.
Well, I think that's a different question. And of course, those are friends when we started that. Well, the issue then, why didn't you step up and say something else?
Well, we knew where was that?
Well, the attorney, when he decided to do it, was at a board meeting, but we decided to start advertising those on the website, and it was going to be a problem then.
I
think that's a good question. As far as...
I don't remember. I mean, we can certainly go back, and if I have forgotten or just ignored the discussion, which I doubt, I apologize. But nobody asked our office whether we should do an ordinance opening up the website for advertising of private sales. So.
Well, it actually has to get to our board meeting when the mayor had offered that to a couple of residents here. And I certainly wasn't going to put their time.
Which attorney?
I'll go back to that.
I mean, you can say me. You can say, Mike, where were you? Trust me, I'll tell you, whether I was present for that, I don't know the circumstances. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. Right now, what I'm hearing...
Something that we're looking at, something different than
I don't know the circumstances, because I have no recollection of that discussion at all. I'll confer with Eric about it and see, but opening the website for advertising private sales,
I don't see it written here in the ordinance. I think maybe that's
not part of our ordinance.
I'm saying that
it's
just an add-on somewhere along the line.
We're allowing for garage sales as a reason, as a way, if you will, to get them to purchase their permits. I know from an HOA standpoint, it was absolutely brilliant to do it in the subdivision, because all of our compliance had to be met by the village, and this guaranteed us that they were going to be compliant. They also had to have their permit in the window, and our subdivision, much like yours, really has board members that are on top of those things, so it was helpful. But I'm going to ask another question. If we are going to repeal this entire garage sale, flea market, lawn sale, rubbish sale, flea market sale sort of ordinance, again, I'm going to say there will be absolutely nothing in the guidelines then for the number of times a person can have it.
Can I just make comment on Algonquin? I think it's Grace Light. Doesn't issue permits or applications, but they still have a garage sale code and specific regulations. How enforceable is it? I don't know, but it's in the code. So when I log in as a resident, I see it from 8 o'clock to dawn. So
right.
Twice a year over 4 days. My suggestion is, why can't we leave that in there, but not in the permit?
Because if somebody wants that permit, what's the big deal?
You know, at least it's on there. You know, I'm just saying, we just
so but if we put nothing, then we have 10.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have the issue of the ordinance for the dummy to
Well, what
you can sell, but what's the difference between multiple garage sales and, you know, but you're running a business?
That's the distinction, Trustee. That's the distinction. Since I'm here, I'm going to jump in, Trustee Newby. The distinction is that if it starts to look like a home occupation that's occurring, and in particular a retail operation, which would not be allowed under the zoning code, then you would have to prosecute that person. In the municipalities where we've had this issue at our firm, it really comes down to a reasonableness standard, because there's really no set of regulations that you can put in place that will eliminate this problem short of having a hard limit for a garage sale. So if you take that away, now it's a matter of if it looks like a business and acts like a business, can you prosecute them as an illegal home occupation? So 10 of them, you know, during the summer months, that's almost one a week. That starts to look like a retail business came out of the house.
At least one every other week. If they're doing that, maybe they're running a business.
Well, let me point this out. The garage sale, the permit, well, currently with the permit, you can get one for up to 48 at a time, if I don't call correctly.
Twice a year.
So that's 8 days. So say somebody was only available on Thursday, where they can actually have garage sale, they're only limited to 2 days of schedule. Other people are limited to get 8, just because they can do that 4 day stand. Now, so what are we going to say? Is it maximum number of days, or would it be a maximum number of periods of time in which you do them? Because once again, let's be reasonable. Let's be fair. My schedule is very hectic, very busy. Two kids, full time job, this, and gosh, my time wasn't fixed to begin with. So let's just leave it at that. So to me, I can open up my garage sale 4 different days throughout 2 months. That may be very feasible for me, but I've already exceeded the 2 then, even though it's just in 1 day.
But the other thing is, if you leave something in the ordinance, it's not limited in 2 days, who's going to regulate it? Again, you get back to the bookkeeper, put the people in, you know, now I've got to sign somebody to do this work and pay them. I mean, we're spending good money for something that I don't think the returns there are.
So it would be the same effort to find a zoning issue.
No, because like Bob and Bill, I said, hey, Beach, those two guys, they got a system going. They each have their own side of the village. They work it. They know who's doing what. They keep their eyes out. They're up and down the streets, you know, on Thursdays and Fridays. They see who's there. Like I said, they'll know in a heartbeat who's running stuff and what's going on. I had the conversation. They said there was not going to be a problem with your friend. So like I said, let's try it for the summer. Let's see what this is going to bring us. It's out of hand if there's any problems. We'll come back and
we
buy something for next year.
We say we tried it, and we gave everybody the opportunity to have a little more freedom.
Right.
Freedom's good.
Freedom is great.
Mm-hmm. I love it when Big Brother doesn't have to look over everything.
Well, you know, well, we can't regulate everything in the world. And like I said, we're all in the same situation. We're looking for money, we're looking for extra funds, so we can do other things. It's the way to just keep people in place.
So I'm looking to move this forward for the next meeting to do something with it, or another discussion meeting.
I'd like to see it move forward.
I would like to see it move forward if everybody is in agreement.
It'll come back with
the revision, correct? Well, do you want to bring a draft ordinance to committee of the whole, or do you just want to bring an ordinance to the regular meeting?
Can we fast
track it to
bring it to the regular meeting?
Okay.
It's a garage sale season, and I agree. We need to make something happen.
All right, so that would be an ordinance repealing section 5.2 then.
Right.
We would do it with flea markets too, or are we doing correct?
Like I said, we'll see how it goes, and if we have to do something, we'll revisit it next year. Or we revisit it the fall, and we'll revisit it
the fall, and the winter will put something in place next year. I think if the conversation comes up, though, we need to let people know if this is the permit part or the license part, not necessarily the fine.
Sorry, that's right, that part. Okay. I think we should put that on the website once we do this next year. It's part one. Sign placement and everything else is still up in the right way to like the rear and gas, so we understand that.
We also want to add to another website that we don't want to be advertising for our process also.
So we all do all records. And that's the last time.
Okay.
Very good. So then we'll move forward on this grass cutting ordinance, the repealing of. Everybody fine? Police Department.
That's it. Mr. Mayor, members of the board, the agenda item is only that you have to put in the police department is requesting authorization to purchase 3 replacement police vehicles. We budgeted $72,500 this year for these vehicles. We attempted to gather 8 quotes for the cars. We were only able to get 6. The lowest cost is $23,305 each. They're the exact same car that we currently have that bought last year. And that quote came from Curry Motors. It was $23,305 for a total of $69,912. So it's pretty good.
Committee on that, and we are recommending the purchases, which is also moved as forward as after.
Liaison.
I got it. Yeah.
It's both of them.
I'd like to interject just a tiny bit of history that Trustee Dewey had on down, which will tell everybody why we really do need to do this. In the years prior to this, maybe not last year, but in the years prior to that, the board has continually voted to put off buying vehicles because of the economy and the situation that the village, you know, with the property and whatnot. And so we kept putting this off and putting this off, and technically what we have is the lack of newer vehicles filling in so that every year we would have had a smaller turnover, or every other year we would have had a smaller turnover. So what we have now are vehicles that we really are finding declining rapidly, and we don't have any choice now but to put more than one at a time into service to catch up from that. So I also have to totally believe that without cars, our police officers aren't going to be doing their job, a necessary tool, and we've put it off long enough. So the finance committee, from a finance point of view, from the history of it, would say go forward with this, and it's a good idea. And then the budget, too. Woo-hoo.
May I also add that in that same purchase, he's replacing cars. As I would say, as smart as human action can be, not taking cars with the lower mileage, he's taking the ones with the higher mileage, he's taking the ones that are more likely to cause service problems, they're more likely, and not only that, he's taking the effort. Taking stuff from the other vehicles and putting it back in these cars, which is a good thing to say. So it's a very good idea, Chief. That's a great idea for doing it. And I hope our city will say that we should move forward.
Anybody else agree with that? We'll move forward. I want to thank you for that note also, Trustee Fry. And thank you, Chief. Administration. Minutes of the meetings.
I put the letter in front of you that we got for Mr. Jack Gutman. And he was all that they were online, so I mean, I wasn't be surprised if you walked in. This morning. I think, I don't know, I've been doing this for a long time, like I said, I think the minutes are comprehensive, the synopsis was good, the motions were there, I don't know what I would change, somebody has some ideas, I guess.
With this, I think my main concern with this is I think either I spoke or I was misunderstood in the way that was portraying what I was looking for, which is why I often get myself tongue-tied. I was looking for is more than not as much of the naming of and quoting of Trustee So-So says this, Mayor says this. Just more of a generalization as to the board discussed this was looked into. That was more so my concern, so it's not turned into, especially when it comes down to election season, it doesn't appear to be used for political purposes. I would like to just make sure that that always stays consistent in that aspect of not truly naming people specifically, unless it is truly something that, I mean, there's no other way to say it is, this is, you know, what was proposed in that aspect. But I'd like it more of a backup general case. Not the just as, like I said, I apologize if I misspoke. I definitely don't want to see where it says all so-and-so said aye, so-and-so said nay, and that's it. No, I don't want that type of abbreviation by any means. I do like having some of the details. I just like it more in a generalized format, not as much as exact name saying.
There seems to be two trains of thought when it comes to recording minutes. One is to keep it very simple, very concise, and very short so that there is less argument and less difficulty should someone decide they want to hold a minute and make up a story to go with it. I know just from the HRA point of view, our attorney says to keep it super simple and short because you get into a lot less trouble that way. We, however, are way different than an HOA, in my opinion. And for everyone who doesn't come to a meeting, and let me applaud you two for being here because not many people want to come to these. So they get the synopsis of the story. And prior to our election in particular, our minutes, and it wouldn't go over your minutes, our minutes were very brief, very concise, and oftentimes didn't really tell you what the discussion was about.
Or just that one.
Right. Then we came into election season, and all hell breaks loose, kind of becomes campaign fodder and nonsense, and I agree with Trustee Simon Zilla here, that's inappropriate. But that was inappropriate from the head of the table, in my opinion. That should not have happened. And that should have been stopped and instead of used. In reading our minutes in the last few weeks, I have to say, I think they're perfect and happy. I'm so happy with them because they lead everyone to understand what we were here to do. They give just that enough information so that someone reading them would understand where we are, what we're doing, and why we're doing it. And it doesn't call out, it doesn't, it's not disrespectful. I think it's perfect, just the way it is.
Yeah, it is, yes, the way it's being done now, I definitely agree, it's more towards the thing. Like I said, my only
when's answer is
the whole situation.
It's only 6 weeks in. Give me a little time. I'm getting there.
I'll apply because I see a lot of clerks do this. It's a tough job. I was deputy clerk at the last post because I had a clerk that passed away. I got suspended. And I applaud you. I think you just do a great job.
It's
time for 10 minutes. The whole recorded conversation is online as well and it's easily available to anybody who wants to see the full on conversation word for word.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is really, you know, we're not trying to hide anything. We want everything to be as transparent as possible.
Yeah. And I think we did that, Mark. Beautifully.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what, it's not the key stuff. I keep the minutes from board meetings. This is one reason I will keep them. I mean, everything is there you need to know. The media ensure that you buy it. You can carry these around with you. We know what time of year we did something. You go back here. This gives you the motions, gives you a quick stop to the discussion. That's what you need.
And you know what takes the poll if you need to hear more.
There's nothing else there. The smiling conditions impacting the village, and I think Sue brought that one up about the email stuff online and making sure that at least Dan, myself, or whoever we're responding, and Dan and I have been going back and forth responding to stuff. Ron's been responding, and the chief. I think right now we probably do too much responding with each other. Well, we're working that out, but at least we're not letting anything fall through the cracks. So I think all of us are in meetings, setting up meetings, because we get a lot of information from the IML and the kind of partners. And right now, we'll see that around here, a lot of stuff with them, working on that stuff. The chief, I just got something for you here from you. Mark Corey, the other day, with the juvenile thing, what a job's on the program. So they're coming in here, so I think, you know, in the time between Dan and myself and Ron and the chief, we'll figure out what happens with those into, but we'll get to it.
Okay. Basically, I know it was going to be, you know, things. I know I was previously listed as building inspector somehow. Do we know if we ever got that resolved so that I'm not getting a building inspection email that's listed as
you listed as building inspector?
When you click the email, the building inspector, it went to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it listed me as building inspector, and I got, you know, the one email that I forwarded off.
Right.
Thanks. And I shared with everybody in Murray Township that this is, I did go back and check it. It was, if you click on it, it went to me.
I said Marshall was working on that.
Okay,
I brought it
up
to
okay. I'll go check it again later, but that's just like...
Well, you get a smart guy in here next week.
I get bounce backs. This is related because I get bounce backs when I email all trustees. I get them from Don, Vicki, and Greg's emails. And I don't know if anybody else has that.
I just got one from Penny because I responded to an email you sent me, and I got a bounce back for supplies. You asked me to supply this, and I only did it to sign thank you. I got a bounce back from me for a big paragraph of stuff. Why? So
I
don't know why.
I got it.
I
know I'll check something every once from Trustbook.
Yeah, also
I don't know if they directly from
mine always bounce back, and I checked the address and everything, and I had to forward them to other people to send them, so.
Okay. And all my emails
only
want to get forwarded to my other
it's only with you, They never get a bounce back.
Look at the way ours are reconfigured, especially considering how you said it's just with our initial pick, and maybe it was the way they were set up.
It was the ones that were added after the 2011 election.
So
but I haven't gotten any bounce backs from Patty or Henry, so.
Maybe we can.
I don't know. But if I'm the only one.
And we're addressing that.
We're working on that, so we will get that answer.
Okay.
Senator Colbert, or want to
I think both of us. Yeah.
Awesome.
Have you just said marijuana? The first one is on the compassionate use of medical cannabis pilot program. And this is a bill that has been passed by both House and Senate legislature and is sitting on the governor's desk waiting for signature. If he does sign it, the act becomes effective on January 2014, so we do have some time to work through the issues that this may break up. First and foremost is the Department of Public Health and the Department of Health and the State Department that will be enforcing the provisions of the Act. This Act, in its general sense, allows physicians to prescribe marijuana for certain disabilities, certain pain that somebody would have. And so you go to your doctor, you can request this, the doctor can prescribe it to you if you qualify, and then you can go and get a prescription for medical marijuana. There are a number of limitations in the Act of where you can possess or use marijuana. Possession of marijuana is prohibited in most school areas, school buses, any sort of courthouse, and any type of licensed child care provider. You cannot use or smoke marijuana in any public place. Basically limited to the fact that you have to be in a private residence or some sort of private property where the owner of the private property allows the use of marijuana. Also, it cannot be prescribed in labs. You have to be 18 years old or to the teenage prescription for this. The criminal side of this still covers, it makes an exception for people who have a valid prescription, but the exception to the valid prescription, you have to have the exact amount that you are allowed to. You can't have more than that. You can't transfer it to other people. Even if they have a license, you still can't transfer it to somebody else who has a license. You have to go through a very strict chain of procedures and individuals to obtain the allotted amount you're allowed, and you cannot then transfer to other people. There was a lot of discussion and wondering how this was going to affect DUIs and the vehicle code, the trace amount of the drug in your system doesn't necessarily trigger a DUI. However, if you are pulled over, you cannot be operating under the influence of marijuana. So if you are pulled over and the officer believes that you are under the influence of your prescription at that time, he can, or she can, run you through the test, determine whether or not you are under the influence. How this is going to work practically when you get into trying to prosecute these and trying to determine whether or not a person is actually under the influence at the time, or if they have worn off before and the officer just thought you smelled like it from past times. So, didn't give you the benefit of the doubt when you're trying to walk a straight line. That's another question. But,
is there a blood level on it?
No. Discrimination is prohibited under the Act, so you as an employer cannot refuse to employ somebody because you know that they have a prescription under the Act. However, on the opposite side of that, there are a lot of exceptions for employers. The Act does not prohibit an employer from adopting reasonable regulations concerning the consumption or possession of marijuana at work. Nothing in the Act prohibits an employee from enforcing a zero drug policy, so you cannot be under the influence of the drug at work. You cannot discriminate against hiring somebody who has a prescription, but you can enforce a zero tolerance at work policy. So again, it becomes an enforcement issue of how do you tell if they're actually under the influence when they're at work. Nothing in the Act limits an employer from discipline a registered qualified person who has a prescription from violating their drug policy. So if somebody who has a prescription does go to work under the influence, as an employer, you are allowed to discipline them. There are other exceptions, including anytime you have to operate a vehicle, heavy machinery, they cannot be under the influence of it. There's still quite a bit of regulations when you talk about a Class D license and some of the regulations are there. They cannot be under the influence or have this in the system. So there's going to be an interesting interplay because, again, federal law prohibits the use of this, even though currently the administration is not enforcing that. However, we now have a state law that gives some sort of legality to the use of this. Alright, for local issues that may arise, there are two different centers for medical marijuana. One is called a medical cannabis cultivation center. This is where the marijuana is grown. At first, it looked like they were going to put one per Senate district. The final bill has come down, and they are doing one per Illinois State Police District boundary. So there are 22 of those in the state of Illinois, and there are about one cultivation center in each of those police district boundaries. Under state law, that cultivation center may not be located within 2,500 feet of a school or daycare or child care facility. The other type of building that you may see pop up is a medical cannabis dispensing organization. You are allowed, or the state is allowed to have 50 of these right now statewide, but there's no limit to these applications. It just says under the Act that they want it dispersed enough so that everybody who's prescribed medical marijuana has the ability to obtain it. Under the bill as it's currently written, these cannabis dispensing organizations cannot be located within 1,000 feet of a school or child care facility. When it comes to local zoning, the bill and the Act when it passed had a home rule provision in it. So home rule municipalities and non-home rule municipalities cannot regulate the location of these facilities any more strictly than they are under the Act. So you cannot create 3,000 feet from school for the cultivation centers or 1,500 feet from school for the dispensing organizations. However, they do allow reasonable zoning regulations for all municipalities. So as the Village of Round Lake, you will be able to enact reasonable zoning regulations to place on where these cultivation centers or dispensing organizations may go. Again, one cultivation center per Illinois State Police District. If there's a very small chance it is up here, but there's a chance. So you will want to put in regulations that kind of limit where those can go. Another wrinkle is that the Department of Agriculture has the ability to pass further regulations apart from the 1,000 to 2,500 feet from school, but they don't have to pass those regulations So it will be well under 2014 when they have to pass additional zoning regulations, and then once the village sees those additional zoning regulations, the village has to make sure its zoning regulations aren't any more strict than those additional zoning regulations that will pass. And with that, that pretty much takes care of the general overview. So if you have any questions, if not,
we do need direction. And if anybody has any questions, please jump in. But we need direction tonight from the board to work with staff to come up with a proposed ordinance. We need probably a zoning ordinance amendment as well as an amendment to our local nuisance regulation. So we'll need that direction from you tonight. The act doesn't take effect until January 1st, so this is not a rush item, but you do want to have, if you're interested in further regulating it from a zoning perspective, you do need to have that in place. We don't have a budget for that right now. It is not a retainer item, but we'll work with Russ and with the mayor to put together a budget for that.
Who's regulating these growing facilities and
the State Department of Agriculture.
So they're going to license two to bring them to make it still located in our towns. I mean, did they have to have a permission then?
No. The Department of Agriculture gets to permit where these facilities go. So as long as these facilities, they will, the application process is yet to be decided, but it looks like they will apply to the Department of Agriculture. The Department of Agriculture will determine whether they will look at because the state, because the bill allows that they will look at municipal zoning regulations. But then they get to determine whether or not those municipal zoning regulations meet the guidelines of the state statute. So, again, Village Brown Lake will have to make sure that it's not more strict than the zoning regulations of the state and make sure that they are reasonable zoning regulations. But then the Department of Agriculture will make the decision to determine whether or not it can issue the permit based on both the local and state
zoning. We're going to have to write the zoning box to allow it. You can't just restrict and say, no, we don't want it.
You cannot restrict it. You have to be reasonable in the regulation to stop the permits.
And from a zoning box, if I know what you're talking about, it has to be with the same measurement regulations that are in the statute. Well, did I know what you were talking about?
Well, I hope they passed some problems, and they squad, and they're going to come into our division, tell us where and what we're going to do, and, you say about
that. Yeah, in your overview, you mentioned something about employers and how they can discriminate against, but they can enforce a zero tolerance policy. How do you foresee that working with discrimination issues? Because if you say somebody can't, some one person can't take this medicine, but they can take this medicine while working, even though they're both considered controlled?
No. A zero tolerance drug policy can include, I don't know exactly what legal drug you're referring to, but a public work individual who's driving a master wouldn't be allowed to be on So that's kind of the interplay is that, you know, yes, you're going to be allowed to take antibiotics and still be at work because it doesn't affect your mental state at the time.
But there's people who take the Adderall and some of those which are also very controlled, and this is very common.
But they can't do CDL work.
So we're talking the zero tolerance that they would be class restricted to what exact line of work you're doing, not saying just because you work, this company says regardless of what position you do.
Yeah, typically it's a heated position by position. There are more restrictions for public works officers, including officers and firefighters, than there would be more material staff in the department. I mean, that's
why I was kind of thinking, like, if you put it all the way across, I mean, somebody who has other things you can tell one person they can't take them as another one. Obviously, I do understand public safety and those that are in positions where they need to be fully alert and responding can't be on the front.
I don't know how this is going to play out, but it seems like they did try to restrict the types of illnesses that you can get this sort of prescription for to more severe ones. So typically the type of diseases people have that would allow them to obtain a prescription. What is necessarily, exactly. I mean, these are more serious conditions. And when you see somebody coming in to see if we saw 23.
Yeah, my thing was just any type of discrimination if you go across the wall. Those don't take the Tylenol, but I can't take this. But it's migraine headaches, while the one doing my pain for other things.
There's a good thing and a bad thing for that from the human resources law standpoint. Remember, the substance is banned federally, so many of your federal statutes are taken out of play, provided you're not discriminating against the underlying illness that the person is using the drug for. So that puts you in state territory, and then we would just advise following this particular statute strictly because there's no guidance on it, so this is what you have to work with. But it is a conundrum, it really is, especially once you get the spread between federal and state law.
It's
going
to be a lot of learning and adjusting and like that.
Yeah.
So for the purpose of what we need to accomplish tonight?
Just direction from the board to the new mayor and to Russ and to us and the staff to get to work on the ordinance as necessary.
On an ordinance that we have no idea what the limitations are?
What do you mean?
Well, it says that you're saying that we cannot impose an ordinance that is stricter than the thing that they haven't written yet.
This is going to go into effect January 1st. And so, from the village's standpoint, we would, if you want to put in those restrictions, you will want it on the books as of January 1st. If we have to revisit it based upon what the new Department of Agriculture regulations will be, then we can visit it that time. We may not have to. Maybe our restrictions will be reasonable in comparison to those, and we won't ever have to change it again. But because there is that 120-day period where we don't know what might happen, maybe they don't pass any rules when they start issuing permits, then we don't want to be in a position where we didn't have to.
The Department of Ag should not make any major deviations from the statute, especially with respect to the distances and things like that that affect land use regulation. So the reason we tell you that is to give you a heads up that 3 months after you adopt this, we may be revisiting it and revising it.
Should. Okay, but number one, this
should.
Is not... Yeah, should.
That's right.
For tonight, so number one, this is not the retainer for you. So are we going to wait for you to explain a budget on this?
Yeah, normally we would work with the mayor and the administrator, give you a budget, and you would give us a go-ahead on it.
Okay, so for the purpose of tonight, how about you do that preliminary work, contact us, and if we need to bring it back to maybe the whole next week or in 2 weeks, we'll make that decision then.
Also, I mean, wouldn't the Lake County Municipal League be doing something also as far as general description of these urban
valleys? I have no idea. I haven't seen anything done.
Right, and maybe I'll just take some of our resources and go through them and get what we need and have them just look over in the timeline.
I can tell you, Don, that we represent 12 municipalities, so we're not reinventing the wheel for Round Lake. So there's already some built-in efficiencies, and we're sensitive that we are not going to bill a ton of money on this.
I'm not saying that, but sometimes you just believe all this has guidelines are they working on, and so that we can be appropriate.
Russ will make a note of that.
The league doesn't have guidelines at this point. The Lake County Municipal League might. We haven't checked with them. Your map. I mean, taking a template ordinance from somewhere else isn't going to help you look at your map. and figure out where you should allow it.
So for tonight, you'll do that, talk to us about budget. Russ and I will talk to Lake County Municipal League, get a little more information, and we'll bring it back to the next meeting. I'm not going to say any more.
Next one.
Appeal carry.
So are we okay moving on to the next one?
Yes.
Hang out there. All right. Next agenda item we have on tonight is the Firearm Concealed Carry Act. This, without getting too technically into it, this stems from content and appeal up to the Seventh Circuit regarding a concealed carry ban in the state of Illinois. The High Court there overturned the state ban and has given the state of Illinois time to implement the law regulating the concealed carry firearm before the ban is appealed and people can just start carrying them around without any law on the book. So with that deadline in mind, the legislature passed the bill. It's also sitting in the governor's desk waiting for signature. Most of the provisions in this bill are enforced by the Department of the Illinois State Police. One major thing that you have likely been hearing about, and we've sent an email out about it, is that there is a preemption within the bill that prohibits municipalities from regulating the concealed carrying of firearms in any way inconsistent with the Act. So they're removing power from both home rule and home rule units, from regulating this in any way that's inconsistent with the state law. However, there is one provision in there for assault weapons. And the term assault weapons is specifically used, and the bill provides up to 10 days after the bill goes into effect. So once the governor signs it, municipalities have a 10-day window to have a prohibition or some sort of regulation of assault weapons on their books. If they have an assault weapon regulation of some sort on their books within that 10-day period, then they can amend that ordinance moving forward. If they don't have that regulation on the books within 10 days, then they cannot touch the regulation of assault rifles from there on out. So that is one thing that you will have to think about, and we'll get into that once I'm done looking at the rest of this, is whether or not you want to put any type of regulation on assault weapons. So for the Firearms Concealed Carry Act, it has to do with handguns, and so in order to get a concealed carry permit, you have to be concealing a handgun. You can't be concealing an automatic rifle of some sort, a machine gun, a shotgun. Those you will not receive concealed carry permits for. The application process, again, this act, sort of like the marijuana, gives a time frame for after the act goes into effect for the state police to enact an application process. And it's 180 days for them to come up with an application. The specific application process for how you would apply for a concealed carry permit. Also, within the 180 days, the state police have to create a database for keeping the application and the license holder's information. This database will be available statewide for local law enforcement agencies. And this database, once it's up and running, an application will come in and the state police will put the application into the database. The local law enforcement agencies all across the state, no matter where the person is applying, will be able to look at that application and determine whether or not they want to object to that application. The chief of police is the designee, but he or she may appoint another designee to make these objections to the state police. So if they see an application and they see a reason why this person should be denied a concealed carry permit, they will then file an objection with the state police, which is then forwarded on to a review board. And this act creates the Concealed Carry Licensing Review Board, which is made up of 7 governor-appointed commissioners. The review board will then review the application, review the objections that are received, and determine whether or not the applicant should receive a concealed carry license. There are a number of requirements as part of the application that you have to meet in order to submit your application in the first place. One of them is you have to have a firearm owner identification card. So what you already have as state law, the FOI card, they call it, you have to have that prior to you being able to apply for concealed carry for that same firearm. There's also a number of restrictions based on past criminal history that are in the statute as well. And for the concealed carry license, you do have to pass a firearms training course, which has to be approved by the state police within 60 days of the act being signed into law. And as I did mention this before, unlike medical marijuana that has an effective date of January 1st, this law becomes effective immediately upon the governor's signature. The concealed carry license must be carried under the individual at all times. It's valid for 5 years at a time. Local law enforcement officers, and any law enforcement officers, in an investigative stop, when they stop taking a car down the street or in the car, they immediately ask the person if they have a concealed weapon on them. The person then has to respond, produce their license, and state where on themselves or in their car the concealed weapon is. It is a violation of the act that, it is a violation of the act to carry a weapon but not have your license. You have to have your license with you at all times. You can't prove with it that, oh, I have this pulse somewhere, but that's where I have my license. There are 23 specifically prohibited areas under the act. One of them, as you'll be happy to know, is any building or portion of a building under the control of a unit of local government. So any building, through the village of Front Lake that is under control, concealed carry is prohibited within that area. Also, any public playground, public park, athletic areas, athletic facilities, any property under control of a public or private school, any sort of child care facility. Also, any public gathering or special event that's conducted on private property that opens to the public and requires a permit from the unit of local government. So if someone comes in here and wants to hold some sort of event in an open area of the village, and it's open to the public, and concealed carry weapons will not be allowed into that place.
Like your hometown dress, right?
Yeah, that would be a good example. The exception to this prohibited areas rule are parking lots. You are allowed to have a concealed carry weapon in the parking lot of these prohibited areas. So if someone can drive onto the parking lot of Village Hall, and as long as they place their concealed carry weapon within their vehicle, appropriately locked up and concealed, then that weapon can maintain its stay in that vehicle. Also, the individual is allowed to stay within the vicinity of their car, but they're allowed to exit their car if their concealed carry weapon, so long as it is to transport it to another part of the vehicle where they're going to lock up. The only exception to the exception, which means that you can't have them in the parking lot, is any area that is prohibited under federal law for having a concealed carry weapon, containing nuclear facilities, or any facility that is regulated by the National Nuclear Facility Program. So you can have a number of violations for your concealed carry permit, which can get it suspended or revoked. A wide range of crimes can cause you to have your license suspended or revoked. If you are put under a protection order, so protection order is entered against you, your license is immediately suspended, and you do not get it back until that, that order is revoked. Also, if you lose your FOI card, you lose your concealed carry card. And that is pretty much it. There is also one amendment to the Liquor Control Act where if more than 50% of the establishment's gross receipts are from the sale of alcohol, then that area is prohibited from people carrying concealed carry weapons on. So a restaurant typically won't fall under this, but bars do not be able to carry concealed weapons to a bar.
Yeah, this is another one where we need your direction. The first and really most pressing question is, do you want to have an assault weapons ban in Round Lake? Right now, the Round Lake ordinance regarding weapons kind of hint around the issue that we have an assault weapons ban, but it doesn't use the word assault weapons. It bans weapons that fire more than 8 bullets or projectiles at a time with a single trigger pull, and it bans silencers. So arguably you have an assault weapons ban. There has been, I will point out a couple things. One, there's been no federal assault weapons ban since 2004. So any bans have been at the local level. So the first question is really a philosophical one, whether you think it is an appropriate local issue or whether you think that it's a state or a federal issue. Second, the Illinois Chiefs Association. Chief, I believe the last word out of them is that they're neutral on the assault weapons ban. And I believe that has held. They're neutral on it. So it's really up to you. If you want to have an assault weapons ban, what we would recommend is that we amend what you have here. We actually would use the word assault weapon in there, and we would further define it in keeping with the Evanston ordinance, which has been upheld in court. So that would be an overhaul to this ordinance. Either way, you're going to be doing an ordinance amendment to comply with the new statute, because currently you ban concealed carry, and that's not valid. So those are the directions. Do we?
First question is that you said we have an ordinance that said that we ban a weapon that will fire 8 shots with a single pull on the trigger, because that makes it fully automatic, and I believe there's already laws on that. I don't know if that's worded correctly.
It is. Yes, which will, for more than 8 shots or bullets, may be discharged by a single function of the firing device. That would be a trigger pull. Shotgun with a barrel less than 18 inches, bombs, bomb shells, grenades, etc., Molotov cocktails are all banned. So you're already in federal territory here, but you just don't have the ban.
Second is, what are they defining as an assault weapon?
They are not.
They are not.
They use the word assault weapon, and they don't define it.
Can I add to that?
You may, yeah.
They refer to almost anything as an assault weapon with capacity, with magazine capacity of more than 8. That's the big topic. That's the big topic, as I understand. So what I hear on the news, what I hear from the Illinois State Rifles Association, from the NRA, this is about capacity.
Right, that's typically how they measure it. You could go back, if you wanted to go this route, you could go back and grab the old federal ban. You could, there's a lot of ways you could come up with the definition. The current statute doesn't deal with it.
And it looks like law enforcement doesn't even speak on it during a check. Then it has.
Remember the laws are in place for the most of the
time.
We're not in the business of governing people's knowledge.
Right. And I think we should say that.
Michael alluded to one assault rifle ordinance that has actually been appealed all the way up to the Illinois Supreme Court, and the language of the ordinance and the definition of assault rifle was approved, but it was sent back down. The trial court just starts talking about whether or not an assault rifle is a Second Amendment violation. Under that definition of assault rifle, it is 3 full cases long, and it also bans high-capacity magazines, which this one actually used 10 shots or more.
Sure.
You have a long definition for assault weapons that have been used in other areas.
The capacity thing, I believe, is a waste of time. I don't think we should add any more to the restriction of this. This is my personal thought. Chicago has not one of the most stringent firearms regulations in the country, and year after year after year, it ends up being the most dangerous city in the world. I would urge this board to not go ahead with an assault ban. As romantic as it sounds, it talks about magazines. And to me, I do not understand how it makes you or me or anybody else safer, whether I'm carrying one magazine with 10 rounds in it, or if I'm carrying legally 2 magazines with 8 rounds each for a total of 16. That I can change that magazine out in less than a half second time. Doesn't make sense to me.
I don't feel the need to do it.
Yes, I do.
So then are we looking to basically restrict what we currently have, or just completely...
Right. Well, that, answering that question as a no means we don't have any time deadline here. So then we can go through, and this is just one section of the ordinance, it's 9.28, and go through and make sure that that section complies with the law as passed, and that, that also is not a retainer item. But without an assault weapons ban, it's a much smaller project. We're talking 2 hours of work here. So.
What item was that? 9.28
is the...
Thank you.
Weapons.
Any other conversation on that, Chief?
I just have one question. The state has approved silencers for planes. So, and we have to buy a silencer to own our weapons to be a member of life. Do we have to amend our ordinance to allow the police department?
We'll take a look at that, Chief. I know they're exempt under the statute. I don't think that this applies to our peace officers. I think there's six different areas where it's in here.
There is an exception, which peace officers are exempt from all the previously unlawfully used weapons. So. Yes, I mean, they exempt peace officers from the village code. Again, we want to make sure that we mirror it to the new state law.
So the question then also, part two, there's always a subpart, is do you want to wait until the governor signs it, if in fact he does, or should we go ahead and amend the current ordinance to comply with the statute that was passed? The risk in that is there may be a mandatory veto or something like that, or the governor may just let it lapse. And the other question, no.
Yeah, but if they pass it, then they have another 10-day regulation or 10-day window of things changes, or?
Well, just for assault weapons. The 10 days only applies to assault weapons. So getting your ordinance in compliance with the new law, should the governor sign it, it'll immediately be invalid. Those portions that ban concealed carry, and we'll want to clean it up, which we should do in a timely fashion, but 2 weeks is plenty of time for that. And I don't think, you know, if he signs it tomorrow, I don't think it matters. You're going to be in compliance in 2 weeks.
I think that's fine. And not like I said, there's some verbiage in there that I know is a layman that's not proper. So
yeah.
We should, you know.
You want to bring that back to committee the whole first? It's not an urgent thing. I'd recommend it.
Everybody fine with that?
Could we maybe ask the focus findings that we call a special meeting? Just like if anything comes up, and we, you know, with right this kind of time for so we can have it, and they would know if they we do all communicate our feelings, we thought about this, we digested it, and really are starting to think that maybe we should have something in place.
And I guess the question is do you oppose it? Do we need to? Is it consensus of the board?
Yeah, maybe the whole typically is consensus. I mean, you. If there's a great disparity among the board, you may want to vote to direct us to draft this so we have a record started.
I think that we can move forward, Don, if you want to bring it up at the next meeting to pull an item out for discussion. It might be the appropriate way.
Well, it'll be committee as a whole. So if the only risk is if he signs it
tomorrow,
within the next 4 days,
right?
And you want to ban assault rifles as a board, or an assault weapons, then we would recommend revising this section because we don't use the word assault weapon. We don't have a definition. It's very vaguely written. That's the risk, is it?
the trigger, the 10-day trigger, only comes into play if you want to ban color.
And again, they don't even have a definition of it.
Well, does that say that we can make our own definition of it?
You can make your own definition.
Well, part of it costs a fortune. The tribe told him. He's still going to keep firing. And when he said Everton just passed there, so they got it all in their mind. Not back in there.
And how many years did it take and how much did it cost?
And the Second Amendment issue was unresolved.
That's right. That's the issue.
We haven't had an issue with assault weapons in our village all up till now. I'm not anticipating that we're going to have an assault weapons issue just because. I mean, you know, you're going to have your political government's going to go like, and the other doesn't decide if it's going to sign or not. But I just don't think that this is going to be an issue we need to harp on.
I agree. So move forward that way.
We'll send an email as soon as the government signs it if he does.
Thank you.
Well, you obviously think something happens that we're not anticipating. The lawyers are going to call in there, the mayor's going to call in their shop. You can mention the parts, you know.
Yeah.
But it would be that way on any issue.
Correct.
Not just any.
Thank you, everybody. Suggested new topics? I assume that we're going to want to adjourn for executive session because of probable litigation. Do we have any?
Well, we were directed to do some research at the last executive session. We can report that. We can also report it in memo form if you would prefer that.
I would agree with that. It's been a long meeting.
Nobody gives a score.
No executive session. May I have a motion to adjourn? I think the motion was made by Trustee Tripon and seconded by everybody else. By Trustee Tripon. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Meeting is adjourned at 9:20.
Thursday reminder. 6 p.m.
Welcome back to
the sun. Are you crazy?